This is The Draft Room with Brian Lowe. The Draft Room is your exclusive look inside the NFL Draft.
Okay, so we're moving back and giving up a six. We're giving up a fifth.
Think you know who will go in the top 10, whose stock is rising, and whose is falling?
It's a lot of guys with good value on those spots.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be this year? You'll find out as we go inside The Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
That's right. Inside the Draft Room is exactly where you are right now here on Patriots.com radio. One day and about 8 hours away from the 2011 selection process, the Carolina Panthers, as they have been for about 4 months now, are on the clock. And right now, boy, oh boy, they are genuinely, truly on the clock. It is Wednesday at noon here Eastern Time. My name is Brian Lowe. We're bringing you inside the Draft Room here as we've done the last three or four Wednesdays, and as we'll do next Wednesday as well. In fact, we're going to do it Friday at noon here on Patriots.com radio. Wanted to mention that right off the bat. Friday from noon to 1, a special edition of Inside the Draft Room as we'll recap what happens Thursday night, maybe take a look ahead at what's to come Friday evening, both in terms of what the Patriots do, and don't forget, the Patriots really do, in a way, control this draft with two picks in the first, second, and third rounds, three of the top 33, five of the top 75, something astronomical like that. They run the show. So Friday at 12 o'clock here on Patriots.com radio should be a fun hour as we talk about what took place the night before. So the draft tomorrow night, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. It's finally here. It's been an odd offseason, of course, we all know, around the NFL, where to this point we haven't had the excitement of free agency or trading, players being traded, player movement. The NFL is a year-round extravaganza with player movement, and because of the lockout, and, you know, there's obviously been developments as far as the lockout goes in the last day or two, and there are more to come. That's not what we're talking about here on this show. We're just talking about the draft, but because of the lockout, we haven't had off-season excitement, off-season transactions. So there's even more spotlight on the draft, and there's some different strategies that teams have to be taking tomorrow night, because typically they would have already filled in some holes in trades and free agency, and now they're going in with really a lot of work to do with the draft. The Patriots, of course, with number 17 and 28, and then number 33. On the first pick of the second day, that's Friday night. And we've seen a lot of reports in the last few days about specific teams trying to move up in the draft for specific players. And the Patriots are one of those. We've heard for a few months now that, you know, the Patriots certainly have the ammunition to move up really anywhere they want to go. I mean, it would be obviously unlike them to move into the top five. They really would have to give up, you know, both of their first round picks and probably a second and maybe even more based on those trade value charts that we see. But if they want to move into the top, you know, say 8, 10, 12, they certainly have the wherewithal to do that. And of course, if they want to move down with one or both of their first round picks, that's certainly something they are eager to do most years. And especially this year, because while they have those six picks in the first three rounds, they only have three picks total in the final four rounds. Maybe they want to try to fill in some gaps so that they're bigger players on the third day of the draft. And then don't forget, they never are afraid to have more picks into the next year. So certainly some movement there. But aside from the Patriots, we've seen that Atlanta is looking to maybe move into the top 10, likely for a wide receiver. They go 27th overall. Houston is looking to move up, maybe for Patrick Peterson. Now, Houston, which picks 11th overall, heck, they may need to go top two or three if they want Peterson. How about Pittsburgh? Saw this report that Pittsburgh is eager to move up, unknown how far, but to pair up their current, their rookie offensive lineman last year, Marquise Pouncey, with his brother, Mike Pouncey, who's likely to go in the 15 to 23 range or so. So a lot of reports of different teams looking to move up, down, and around. And in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Chad Reuter of NFLDraftScout.com and CBSSports.com, who's going to bring us the latest news, analysis, insight, info, whatever you want to call it, about what we can expect in the first round tomorrow night. He's very much plugged in to what's going on in the NFL draft scene. So Chad Reuter will be talking to us in just a little bit. For the entire hour, we would love to hear from you. Email us at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. You can also call us, of course, on the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's 508-298-0398. A brand new number, in fact. If you've jotted down the number before here for patriots.com radio, rip it up, throw it away. We've got a new one. We want to make sure you know this. 508-298-0398. That is the number. webradio@patriots.com and 508-298-0398. Is it a given that Cam Newton will be the first pick in the draft tomorrow night? Is it a given? My opinion, yes, it is. I think I share the opinion of many.
Are you kidding me?
In that Cam Newton is not the best player in this year's draft. I think Patrick Peterson, Von Miller, maybe A.J. Green. There are some other candidates as far as the best player in this year's draft. You know, you look at guys who have their mock drafts, but then they also have their quote-unquote big boards, which is really their rankings, putting aside the teams, their rankings of who the best players are in the draft. But it's a quarterback league. We spoke to John Robinson last week for an item we did on Patriots Today on Patriots.com, and he, you know, really said as much in asking him what the strength positions are in this year's draft. The two that he mentioned were defensive end, the pass rush, the defensive end outside linebacker hybrids, pretty deep. And he mentioned quarterbacks. He rattled off the names of the guys that we all know about that are first and second round picks. Newton, Gabbert, Ponder, Locker, Mallett, all these guys. And without getting into specifics on how many are going to go in the first round, how many are going to go in the second round, John Robinson, the Patriots director of college scouting, you know, he said what a lot of other people feel. It's a quarterback-driven league. And a lot of teams are in need of a quarterback right now. And as I said on the top, teams that in a normal year from, say, March 3rd through April 28th would have had opportunities to scour free agency or maybe the trade market for a quarterback, they didn't have that opportunity this year. Don't forget last year at this time, on the Sunday before the draft, the Washington Redskins traded for Donovan McNabb. Now, we can argue all we want about how that has or hasn't worked out, but the fact is they may be looking for a quarterback again, and they haven't had a chance to look at free agency yet. Think about the guys that could have been available this year. Carson Palmer, Kevin Cobb, Matt Hasselbeck, either free agents or in trades, that teams in the top 10 maybe would have had a chance to get a veteran in their building already, and then maybe look for a quarterback in rounds two or three or later. This year, not so much. I think there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking at a quarterback. And I know Chad Reuter, based on an article that he posted just in the last few days on CBSSports.com, definitely has an opinion on exactly what we're going to see from the quarterback position in the first round tomorrow night. But it seems like Cam Newton is the first pick in the draft. You look at mock drafts, and 10 out of 10 have Cam Newton right now. The Carolina Panthers need a quarterback. They need some excitement, too, for their entire organization. Cam Newton seems to be that guy. Nothing has really changed, in my opinion, from what I said a week ago on this show. The top two picks in most mock drafts are pretty much well decided. Cam Newton, number one to Carolina. Marcell Dareus, number two to Denver. Beyond that, you got a little bit of fluctuation. Gabbert, Von Miller, A.J. Green, 3, 4, 5. But 1 and 2, Newton and Dareus, seem pretty secure right now. But will it play out that way tomorrow night? You know, that still isn't known. That still isn't known. So hopefully we'll hear from Chad Reuter on what he thinks are locks in those top five. If there are any right now, he's pretty plugged in. We'll hear from him. We also want to talk about the latest on Daquan Bowers. Now, this is a guy who his knee injury is really becoming one of the number one questions in this year's draft. Don't forget, a while back, he was considered a possible number one pick overall based on his talent and production at Clemson as a defensive end. And talent-wise, I think he's still considered a top five guy. But that knee injury seems to be scaring people away to the point that he's looked at now as a late first-round pick. And, you know, there are teams, I think, in that 18 to 22 range. Tampa Bay comes to mind, San Diego as well, that will really be hard-pressed to pass on Daquan Bowers if he falls to them, in the sense that you're getting to a point where it's too much of a risk not to take him, as opposed to teams in the top five like, you know, Cincinnati, Arizona. It would be a risk to take him that high because that injury could be such that he's a complete bust and has this injury hanging over his head and really is no more than a sixth or seventh round type guy. But once you get to that range, and yes, I am thinking in terms of the Patriots as well. The Patriots pick at 17, they pick at 28. I don't see them taking Daquan Bowers at 17, even if he's there. Too much of a risk. 28? Oof. I'll tell you what, that'll be hard to pass up. An elite pass rusher like him, very hard to pass up. We want to find out what exactly is the latest with Daquan Bowers. And you know, he didn't light it up at the pro day. Doctors have been eyeing this injury for a long time through this whole process, and maybe teams are still going through their medical reports as we speak, trying to figure out what the deal is with Daquan Bowers. That name, when that name gets called tomorrow night, whenever it is, that will be an eye-opening moment in the draft because of how talented he is and how late he might fall in this year's draft. Certainly one of the players that is really a lightning rod around the league. So we want to find out about that during this hour. Webradio at patriots.com. That's the best way to reach us. Chad Reuter on NFLDraftScout.com and CBSSports.com is one of the most plugged-in draft analysts year-round. And I'm sure right now there are many other things he could be doing than talking to us here on Patriots.com. But we're very happy he's taken a few minutes to join us. Chad, welcome inside the draft room.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Well, we appreciate having you on, and we want to get right to it. Is Cam Newton a lock to be the number one pick in the draft tomorrow night?
As anybody who's watched the draft over time could tell you, there's no such thing as a lock. Very few. Unless the guy actually signs a contract in advance of being the number one pick, and obviously that's not happening.
Not allowed this year. Not allowed this
year. Yeah, so I think the percentages I keep hearing is about 80% that it's very likely to happen. I think Ron Rivera appreciates the physical traits and Cam's ability to interact with, you know, his teammates. He's got, you know, he's can be infectious personality around other players, and even though there's been reports to the contrary that people don't think he's going to be a leader, I think he has proven a little more mental toughness than some people project from him, and certainly has a ways to go to be the prototypical pocket, you know, passer. But I think the Carolina sees enough upside in him, enough potential. That seems to be the likely pick at this time.
And you hit it because it's about talent, but also about generating some extra excitement and buzz for the Carolina Panthers, and that combination probably does lead them to Newton. Now, you and many others, you know, Cam Newton number one, Marcell Dareus number two to Denver seem like, you know, consensus picks at this point. But 3, 4, 5, you start getting into a scenario here where between Blaine Gabbert, A.J. Green, Von Miller, there's a bit of a jumbled up situation. What do you see happening there with Buffalo at 3, Cincinnati 4, and Arizona at 5, and how that's going to play out?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything concrete. A lot of people like to put Von Miller going to Buffalo, and it makes sense just because he's, you know, a very, very good pass rusher. The Bills obviously got to coach him at the Senior Bowl. They know what he's all about. However, with a talent like Blaine Gabbert available and with Chan Gailey liking to work with quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick may be a very good veteran backup, and he would be a good starter for them in 2011. But when you look at Gabbert's tools as a quarterback, it might be difficult to pass for them to pass him up. So right now, to me, it's a 50-50 proposition. I don't think anybody really has insight in what Buffalo is going to do until that pick comes down. And then basically that pick, I think A.J. Green is fairly set for Cincinnati. I think that will likely be the pick for them. And then Arizona will probably end up taking whoever Buffalo doesn't take between Miller and Gabbert. So that's how I imagine the top five going right now.
And now in a story you posted on CBSSports.com just yesterday, some of your 10 predictions for this draft, you say that you think a maximum of 4 quarterbacks will go in the first round. So assuming Newton and Gabbert are gone in either the top 3 or the top 5, at what point do you think will be the next quarterback taken? Who will that be? And who do you think would be those 4 if there are 4 taken in the first round?
I think Locker and Jake Locker and Christian Ponder would be the other two that could go. And I think one of them will likely go maybe, you know, as high as Jacksonville at 16. I believe that somebody, there's a decent chance somebody will trade up from the second round to get Pondera, Locker, whoever is available there. I just believe that even though people are projecting Colin Kaepernick and Ryan Mallett and Andy Dalton as all potential guys that could go in the first round, I think there are issues with their games and obviously with Mallett, his character as well, that'll at least drop most of those guys into the second round and maybe even one of them into the third.
And because of those guys dropping into the second round, you might start seeing some movement early in that second round because of how many teams in that top 10 really do need quarterbacks. They're not all going to take one in the first round, so certainly might see some trade movement there at the top of the second. We're chatting with Chad Reuter, NFLDraftScout.com senior analyst. And, Chad, you know, every year in these days and hours leading up to the draft, we start hearing, well, this team might be trying to move up, this team might be trying to move down. What's the latest buzz that you're hearing as far as teams looking to move up, say, into the top 10? You know, we're seeing reports that Atlanta's trying to move up for one of those elite wide receivers. Houston trying to move up maybe for Patrick Peterson. What are you hearing about teams trying to move up at this point?
I honestly believe I'm hearing a lot of misinformation and
that's the name of the game, you know, this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I really think that if a team is really interested in moving up, they're not going to allow it to get into the media. I really believe that. Typically, we want to project all these different trades. And frankly, a lot of people project trades coming into a draft because they want to project them. Teams put out the information in order to maybe force another team's hand into moving up. And then we get to the draft, and they don't happen. I think really where the trades start would be somebody trying to get, let's just say that Patrick Peterson doesn't go to Cleveland at six, or who really Cleveland's number six pick is where the draft will really get interesting, because depending on which direction they go, whether it's a Robert Quinn, Julio Jones, Patrick Peterson, that's really where the trade starts with San Francisco, Tennessee, Dallas. Then we're going to see some movement in there. And certainly the Patriots are one of those teams that you have to consider. A few years ago, they moved up for Gerard Mayo, and people really didn't expect it.
Right.
And so if somebody falls that team really likes, they certainly have the ammunition to make that move up. They have to be in the conversation as well. I really think Philadelphia, you always have to consider Philadelphia a threat to move up. Where they're sitting this year, they're in a position where they have to wait. And I think if Andy Reid likes a particular lineman, if he really likes Tyron Smith, if he really likes Gabe Kareemi, if he really likes one of these offensive tackles in this class, he's going to have to move up to get him. So Philadelphia is always a threat to move up. And certainly in their case, as well as New Orleans, Green Bay, again, the Patriots with the 28th pick, there's a lot of teams that are going to be looking to move into that part of the draft. So I think that's really where the more intriguing trade possibilities will be, is in that late first to see who comes up and gets that quarterback.
Well, you talk a little bit about the Patriots and their ability to move up. In your mock draft right now, which, you know, I think doesn't necessarily take into account what trades you think will happen, but you have the Patriots going with Akeem Ayers, the outside linebacker from UCLA at number 17. And then you have Mark Ingram going to Patriots at 28. Talk about that, specifically the Ingram pick. And I know you, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're in the minority in thinking that Mark Ingram and potentially Michael LeSure could go in the first round. That's one of your predictions, is that LeSure would go in the first round as well.
Yeah, I like to, you know, the predictions are bold. I like to try to do things that are against conventional wisdom. So you have to think about things, because very few things happen exactly the way that we say they're going into the draft. So
especially with the Patriots, we found out. Especially with the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah, so Akeem Ayers is a guy that a lot of people think will fall into the late first round. And then, you know, every year it seems like there's a linebacker. Sean Witherspoon, for example, last year went in 19 when a lot of people thought he would go more in the late 20s and the 30s. I think a linebacker typically gets into that part of the first round. I think Akeem Ayers is that guy. You throw out the 4.8, 40 if you like his game. The Patriots have certainly been willing to do that with a guy like Brandon Spikes. If they like Ayers' ability to rush the passer, play against the run in their scheme, I think he'd be a really good fit for the team if they want to go that direction. And certainly Mark Ingram is very talented to me. He's just a plain warrior, who is going to only get better as a receiver. He's got excellent vision. To me, he's a really strong value, and some team is going to take him in the first round at some point, if not in the mid round, like a Miami or even New England maybe looks at him at 17, he's going to be gone. And again, the one reason I predict the two running backs is because only one time in the last 35 years has only one running back gone in the first round. So I think there's, you know, the odds are against that happening. I believe that a team like Green Bay, if they like Mecole Lachuur at 32, I think they could snap him up. I think other teams really like Lachuur, and I think some of them may even have them ahead of him, ahead of Ingram, because of Ingram's the knee situation that he had coming into the year. So, again, I believe, you know, again, looking for something that could happen that not a lot of people expect, having both those running backs come off the board is not going to surprise me.
Well, you alluded to Mark Ingram's knee situation. Let's talk about another knee situation, Daquan Bowers. And this is a guy who, when this draft process began back in January and February, he was a possible number one pick overall. That knee injury does seem to be significant enough that he could be sliding all the way into the middle, maybe late first round. What do you know about Daquan Bowers right now? What are teams thinking about Daquan Bowers, and where will he go?
I've heard everything you can imagine about Daquan Bowers, which is the other thing that's difficult about making any kind of predictions about what's going to happen. You can talk to one team that says, he's not going to be a first-round pick for us. You can talk to another team that says, hey, if that guy is in the 20s, I'm going to take him in a heartbeat because he's a good player. So to me, it seems unlikely that he's going to be picked before, let's just say, 16 at Jacksonville. I think that's his ceiling right now. And certainly, you know, you look at Tampa Bay at 20 and maybe even later. The latest thing that I heard, that the medical reports were not good. It is not just smoke screen on Daquan, that there are legitimate concerns. So I would have a hard time seeing him get picked higher than 16. And piece of information for people, Erasmus James was a defensive end that came out of Wisconsin a few years ago. And there were major concerns about his hip coming into the draft. The Vikings took him at 16, I believe, in that draft. So despite the injury things, there is a chance that he could go even in the mid-first.
Very interesting comparison right there, and we'll see what happens with Bowers. We're talking to Chad Reuter, NFLDraftScout.com senior analyst. Just as we wrap it up here, I just want to get your sense on a couple of specific players that, you know, have been linked to the Patriots in the 17 or 28, but we're, you know, not quite sure exactly what to make of these guys. Jabal Sheard out of Pittsburgh, what are your thoughts on him, and what kind of fit would he be? Would he be a fit for the Patriots at one of those picks?
Sure, I think he is a guy that a lot of scouts like. Is more of a, he's not an exceptional athlete, but he's really strong. He's relentless. Last year, I had former Pittsburgh tight end Doran Dickerson on a radio show that we did, and he actually said at that point, this was a year ago, that he thought he was a better player than Greg Romeas. So I think he has a lot of respect across the league, just as a relentless player, strong player, and somebody that can make that move to a 3-4 linebacker. That's not going to be a surprise if he ends up with one of those two Patriots picks.
Okay, and another player that I'm curious about, and we also got an email from a listener in Belfast, Ireland, in fact, Baylor's Phil Taylor is a nose tackle. Could he play end in the 3-4?
Sure, and I to be honest with you, I think he would probably rather do that than play a nose tackle, and I think he's a big guy, and you look at, okay, he's 6'1" or so, 335 pounds. Well, that's a nose tackle. But he doesn't really play like a nose tackle. He plays more of a, more of a five technique, more of a three technique kind of guy that wants to get after the quarterback and things like that. And it'll be interesting to see if, like, the Jets or the Patriots, you know, if the Jets pick him at 30, for example, and put him at nose tackle, see how he handles that. But certainly teams, the issues with him, obviously he's had weight issues in the past. Some teams that want to play him at nose tackle don't care about that because they just want him to eat space. But, if you're looking for him to be very mobile, you may be concerned about that. He's also dismissed from Penn State. Mm-hmm. There are some for an on-campus altercation. So there are some issues with him. Frankly, his tape wasn't that good early this year and last year playing for Baylor. So, there are some concerns with him. It won't surprise me if he doesn't go in the first round, as a lot of people project.
All right, Chad. Well, tremendous information from you. Just curious, where are you tomorrow night during the draft? Where are you? What are you doing? And what can people find from your articles online?
I will be at Radio City. I will be doing hourly spots at the CBSSports.com. We're doing a show, internet show, Inside the Draft Live. And I will be popping out onto 6th Avenue outside Radio City, talking with Mark Morgan here and there about what's going on at the different parts of the draft. So you can see me online there. And if the Wi-Fi is working in Radio City, I'll certainly be tweeting on my Twitter account at Chad Reuter, R-E-U-T-E-R. And, you know, after the draft, I will have articles on the best available players going into Friday as well as Saturday, and then we'll have all the wrap-up stuff after the draft as well.
Fantastic stuff. Fantastic. We'll be watching for all that, and Chad, we greatly appreciate you spending a few minutes with us the day before the draft. Enjoy the weekend.
I will certainly do that, and thanks so much again for having me on.
All right, Chad Reuter, NFLDraftScout.com, CBSSports.com, The Sports Exchange. He's everywhere, and he really is plugged in, so we appreciate him spending a few minutes. A lot to digest from what he talked about. We want to hear from you. We have a few emails in. As it stands right now, webradio@patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, here inside the draft room. We'll be right back after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Inside the Draft Room, 508-298-0398 or webradio@patriots.com.
We're back inside the Draft Room on this Wednesday. The clock is ticking. We're almost at the 2011 NFL Draft tomorrow night, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Friday, from 12 to 1. We'll be back inside the draft room with a special edition. And don't forget, the PFW guys will be aboard all throughout the first round Thursday night, starting at 8 o'clock. And be sure to check that out. We've got you all covered for the draft these next couple of days. The Patriots, 2 picks in the first, 2 picks in the second, 2 in the third. It doesn't get much better than this. Web radio at patriots.com. That's the way to get in touch with us. We talked to Chad Reuter just a few minutes ago here on the show, and he brought up some really interesting points. I certainly was intrigued by what he was talking about in terms of possibilities of teams moving up. There's a lot of misinformation out there right now. Teams trying to float different ideas out in the media to try to, throw other teams off. But he thinks that the number 6 pick is really where the draft could sort of take a turn. That's Cleveland. A lot of this depends on who goes 1 through 5, but if 1 through 5 sort of goes, according to plan, and there's no plan, but if it's Newton and Darius and Gabbert, Green, Miller, then what Cleveland does at number 6 is really going to cause a lot of dominoes to fall from 7 and beyond, and 7, 8, 9, 10 might be the sweet spot for trades. 7, I think if Patrick Peterson is still around, that San Francisco pounces on him as the best cornerback available. 8, 9, 10, Tennessee, Dallas, Washington. These are 3 teams that it's hard to say what they're going to do, what they want to do, but they could still do what they want to do by moving down. And the teams that might be looking to move up, hey, it could be New England, Philadelphia, New Orleans. These are some of the teams that Chad talked about. But that's where things are going to get interesting, Chad thinks. And I kind of agree that if there are going to be trades up, that's really where those are going to happen. So interested to get your thoughts, anyone's thoughts, on what he means by that, what that's going to, how that's going to impact the Patriots, and what exactly will take place in that top 10 or so of the first round. As we check out the emails here, this is from Walter in Cambridge. He's got a trade scenario that would get the Patriots 2 pass rushers. How about this? The number 28 pick and number 33 to move up to 11. And he says that could be higher. Maybe they could get even higher because there's some added value in that 33rd pick. Of course, that's the first pick of the second round. And the added value comes in the sense that teams have, really overnight and all day Friday to reassess their boards, maybe, be struck by the fact that a certain player that they covet is still around. Maybe they work the phones and try to move up right into there. So 28-33 for number 11. And if it's the 10th or 9th, potentially use that on Robert Quinn, and then still have the number 17 pick available to get Ryan Kerrigan. With all the talk about getting a pass rusher, why not reinvent the position like they did last year with tight end? Grab 2 pass rushers. That's Walter in Cambridge. Walter, I like the thinking in terms of the adding 2 pass rushers. I think one way or the other, with 17, 28, and 33, unless they move one of those completely out of this year's draft and into next year, I do think they absolutely have that ammunition to take 2 pass rushers, whether that's defensive ends converting to outside linebacker or outside linebacker straight up. But here's my thinking. What if they've had so much trouble finding high-end pass rushers, outside linebackers that meet their standards in the drafts during the entire 10 years that Bill Belichick, 11 years that Bill Belichick has been running the Patriots draft room? What are the chances that they find 2 in this year's draft, including 1 that they feel so good about that they're going to package picks, coveted picks that they have, to move up to get one? I just think the risk in their eyes is going to be too much, and they're not going to trade up for a guy like that. Now, like I said, 17, 28, 33 among those picks, absolutely. If they come out of this and make 3 picks and one of them is not, at least one of them is not a defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rush type, then we should probably consider this a failure on their part, because there are enough guys that I think you have to take the risk this year. It's such a glaring need. You've got to take a risk on one of them. I just don't see them taking the risk on 2 of them. I do think, Walter, that they could, between 17, 28, 33, and 60, not to mention the picks they have in the third round, they might be able to move around in the second round and get a guy who maybe falls. If it's true that there are so many players who are good fits in the 3-4 at that position, you got to figure a few of them are going to fall out of the first round. And the Patriots have a chance to take 1 or 2 maybe in the second round. So I think what's more likely, Walter, is they take 1 at 28 or 33 and another at 60 in terms of these pass rushers. I think Robert Quinn, I think the earliest they trade up for Robert Quinn is 10, maybe 12 even. I just don't think they're going to go high enough. I don't think they're going to give up enough to go high enough to get Robert Quinn. Ryan Kerrigan, potentially. Alden Smith, maybe. Akeem Ayers, Muhammad Wilkerson. You know, all these guys, Jabal Sheard, all these guys that are in the mix, say, between 15 and 30, they're on the table for the Patriots. But every time I hear the names of these players as perfect fits for the Patriots, the first thing that comes to mind is all these years we've heard about perfect fits for the Patriots, and they don't take them. And generally, not all the time, Clay Matthews, of course, we can talk about, but generally they have made the right call because the guys that everyone else thinks are perfect fits for them just aren't. So, Walter, I like the thinking a lot. I think it would be a dynamic move to be able to do that. I just don't see them doing it. I don't see them having taken that risk, but we appreciate the email there. Next up, Justin is asking, how would you rank the numerous defensive end linebackers that could interest the Pats? He lists six right here. Alden Smith, Robert Quinn, Daquan Bowers, Ryan Kerrigan, Cameron Jordan, J.J. Watt. Well, if I'm ranking them, yes, I do think Robert Quinn is the best. He is considered the best and the perfect fit, and he's probably going to go in the top 10. So I would say if the Patriots had the first pick in the draft, and they were definitely going defensive end linebacker, Robert Quinn would be the guy. The next best fit, I think, is J.J. Watt. You know, he seems like the pure 3-4 defensive end. He can make the transition really quick, and I think Cameron Jordan is like that as well. Alden Smith, I'm not as sold on as a lot of others are. And then Ryan Kerrigan, to me, is more at the bottom of this list. I don't think he's a bad fit. I just don't know that he's an ideal fit. Daquan Bowers is the interesting guy here, Justin, because I don't know that he's the ideal fit at a 3-4, but if he is around at 17, don't you have to consider him? He is such a productive player, or was such a productive player in college. It's obviously just all about the knee injury. And we heard Chad Reuter compare him to Erasmus James, who went, I think, 16 to Minnesota. That's what he thought. And, you know, can the Patriots take the risk of taking him at 17? You know, I don't know if they can. I don't know if they can because I don't know if he's the perfect fit. But I think Robert Quinn and J.J. Watt are the two perfect fits there. But again, the ones that we think are the perfect fits, it just turns out most years they don't end up being that perfect fit. But it's such a lightning rod position for the Patriots, D-end and linebacker. You know, Tully Bantik, before last year when they took Jermaine Cunningham, Tully Bantikame was really the only outside linebacker they had really taken. I guess Sean Crable as well. But they tend to take these guys third round and beyond. First and second round, it seems to be a need every year, and they don't take them. But we've heard Bill Belichick on the record. We've heard John Robinson on the record. And plenty of other NFL draft experts note that this is a great year for defensive end hybrid guys in the 3-4. There's a lot of depth.
I never said that.
No, you did, Bill. You said it. Don't go backtracking now. You said it.
I don't have the slightest idea.
Oh, we do. We do. He said it. He said it to Sirius Radio, I believe, last week, and has said it a few other times since. So this could be a year that they do finally take an elite guy early in the draft.
What do you want me to tell you?
Well, if you want to come on our show, Bill, you can tell us exactly what you think the Patriots are going to do. Paul in London tells us exactly what the Patriots are going to do, and he's not just telling us what they're going to do in round one, round two, round three. How about all the way through this draft with his mock draft? And he's got complex trades. So Paul in London says, I've got a few mock drafts here that I'd like you to take a look at and just comment on certain picks. Two of the drafts are the Patriots picks, and one is the overall mock draft. Here is the mock that Paul in London wants the Patriots to do. He wants them to trade 17 and 60. So that's the first of their two first-round picks and the second of their two second-round picks, plus number 74 overall for number 6. That's Cleveland. So Cleveland would take less value with Green and Peterson gone, knowing there's a deep defensive end class. So he's got Green and Peterson gone, Cleveland being not so happy about that, but Cleveland sending 6 to the Patriots for 17, 60, and 74. The Patriots then take Robert Quinn at 6, Muhammad Wilkerson at 28. I'll tell you what, Muhammad Wilkerson seems to be a fast-rising player in this year's draft. Who had heard of him really, a couple years ago. This was not a guy that was a standout player to me going into the combine, but I remember Mike Mayock talking about him, and I know many others have now, and it doesn't seem like he'll even be there at 28 at this point, but let's go with what Paul's got here. Robert Quinn at number 6, Muhammad Wilkerson at number 28, which would really revolutionize the Patriots front seven in a way that would certainly excite fans, and I think would give them the dynamic element that they really haven't had the last couple of years. You know, Robert Quinn at an outside linebacker position, Wilkerson at a defensive end spot, really would revolutionize the Patriots front seven. Now, in Paul's mind, the Patriots aren't done there. They trade 33 for number 41 and a 2012 second rounder. Now, this is really where I think the Patriots are going to make some hay. That 33rd pick, what they tend to do is they don't fall in love with one player, and dropping from 33 to 41, in their eyes, they probably would have a pool of players, say 8 to 10 players, that they have a similar grade at, and drafting at 33 or drafting at 41, it wouldn't matter to them. They'll take one of their guys in that pool, and then they'd add a 2012 second rounder. And Washington, you know, hey, who's to say that Washington won't be like Carolina last year, where that second round pick is going to be very, very, very high in the second round? So they would trade 33 for 41 and a 2012 second rounder. And then Paul has them taking number 41 and adding, getting the number 49 and 80 picks. 49 being late or middle of the first round, and then number 80 being middle of the second round. I'm sorry, 49 being middle of the second and 80 being middle of the third. So they take 33 and ultimately get 49, 80, and a 2012 second rounder. That is just a slam dunk type of trade for the Patriots, the type of trade that they like to do. And at number 49, Paul has them taking Marcus Cannon, the tackle out of TCU, or James Carpenter, the tackle out of Bama. Now, the unfortunate news on Marcus Cannon is that he has been found out to have lymphoma, which is really an unfortunate situation for him. Obviously, you know, I'm sure everyone is wishing the best for him. How that impacts his draft positioning this year, well, that remains to be seen. And then DeMarco Murray, the running back out of Oklahoma, at number 80. And then a few other picks of note that Paul has the Patriots taking here. Ricky Stanzi, the QB, at number 92. And Owen Morisic, the fullback, kind of a two-way player out of Stanford, at number 156. Very interesting stuff, Paul. And then he kind of, we'll just quickly talk about what he expects from a typical Belichick draft, trading 17 to 21 and getting 86 as well, taking Nate Solder, the tackle out of Colorado, at 21, Muhammad Wilkerson at 28, and then again trading that 33rd pick to the Titans for 39 and a 2012 second, so the Titans can get their QB, and then the Patriots would take Justin Houston, number 39, out of Georgia. We should also note on Justin Houston. Justin Houston and Christian Ballard failed drug tests, reportedly. How does that impact them? They are seen as second-round guys. Although, you know, Justin Houston was really seen as a late first into the second-round guy in these days, weeks leading up to the draft. So failing a drug test, reportedly, how does that impact their positions? You know, hard to say. But anyways, Paul in London really with a thorough job here, and we appreciate him passing along his picks in this year's draft. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Another email here is from, boy, is that a Twitter handle? At MZLaddie2U. I'm probably, you know, I'm out of touch with technology these days.
Let's just call her Michaela.
Michaela. Malaika, I think is what it is. Malaika. You know, we need some more specific, you know, how do you want to be referred to when we read your email? But Malaika says, do you think the Patriots should draft a QB so Brady can mentor them now, so when he's ready to step down, the Patriots can keep the great flow QB-wise? It's a good question. It's a question that really comes up every year, and it's very complex. The Patriots have Brian Hoyer. Now, I think that they think highly of Brian Hoyer, and I think they would love to groom him as the QB of the future. But here are the complications there. Do we really know what the Patriots think of Brian Hoyer? They must think highly of him in the sense that he was the only backup quarterback on the roster last year. But don't forget this. He's only under contract for, I believe, two more years. So the Patriots will probably end up losing But losing is the wrong word. Not having Brian Hoyer in a couple years, whether it be that they trade him or he leaves as a free agent, because depending on what other teams think of Brian Hoyer, they might be able to get some good value out of him. Now, with Matt Cassel, they got good value, but that was because Tom Brady missed an entire year. Cassel stepped in and did well. The Patriots don't want to see what Brian Hoyer can do on the field because that would mean Tom Brady's injured. So that begs the question, is this the year where they draft a quarterback, maybe in the top three rounds, and they go into the season with Tom Brady, Brian Hoyer, and this new quarterback, try to groom both Hoyer and the new quarterback to the point that one of them becomes the QB of the future, and they deal the other? But the next step in that question is, when do you draft that quarterback? We talked last week and the last few weeks about the fact that Jake Locker and Ryan Mallett have made visits to the Patriots. What does that mean? Does that mean they're interested in those players? Does it mean that they're smoke screens? Who knows? Would the Patriots really risk taking a quarterback in the first or second round? I don't think so. But if they do feel highly about one of these guys, maybe the second round is where they take a guy. Maybe it's Christian Ponder. Who knows? But the question is a good one, Malika. They have to start thinking in terms of what happens post Brady. It's not an urgent need, and it involves what they think of Brian Hoyer, but it's still pertinent nonetheless. So it's a good question. We'll see what they do at quarterback. I think there's a pretty good chance they take a quarterback somewhere. You know, Ricky Stanzi is certainly a possible candidate that I think a lot of experts do feel that he'd be a good candidate for the Patriots in the third, fourth, fifth round, let's say. But it's hard to say right now. It's hard to say right now. Appreciate those emails, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. So mention the Justin Houston and Christian Ballard situations, and I do think it's pertinent when it comes to the Patriots because those are defensive line, outside linebacker types that the Patriots could be interested in. They certainly could be interested in those guys. And whether it's a player that they are or aren't interested in, I think it impacts their philosophy. I think it impacts what they might do because there's a domino effect. And if Justin Houston was on their short list, but they're taking him off because of an alleged drug report or a failed drug report, then maybe they have to move down their board for another guy in the second round. That all remains to be seen. So I think it's noteworthy. But you know, there were rumors and reports that, you know, Aaron Hernandez failed drug tests too. He slipped all the way to the fourth round. The Patriots pounced. We'll see what happens there. Inside the draft room here, we've got another 10 minutes or so to go, and we want to just definitely talk about, you know, what's to come tomorrow night, but also what's to come here on Patriots.com, Patriots Today. Lindsay Petrucci is going to join us here in studio in a few minutes to talk about what she and I are doing on Patriots Today. And, don't forget, 12 to 1 on Friday, we'll be back inside the draft room for a special 1 hour show, recapping what goes on or what went on Thursday night and highlighting what we might see on Friday morning. Now, when we talk about, and we talked with Chad about what teams might move up, there's also, you know, what teams might move down. And what are the teams that are moving down, you know, who would they be looking for? I think that offensive tackle is a position that teams moving down are going to be targeting. Dallas, for one. Maybe Detroit. There's about five offensive tackles that are first round caliber that are probably going to go in the 15 to 25 range. That might be when a run starts. And I think that's where the teams that are moving down might be targeting offensive linemen or these outside linebacker types, because those are the positions that seem to be deep enough in the first round that you don't have to take one in the top 10 to get a good one. You can move down a little bit and add another pick or two later on in the draft. I think those are the positions that, you know, Dallas, Washington, Minnesota, Detroit, they might be moving down to try to get. When you look at mock drafts, I think, you know, number 9 overall is kind of the earliest that we see these offensive tackles going. Tyron Smith, maybe Boston College's Anthony Costanzo, and then the meat of them. No. I said 9. The meat of them really going in the 20 to 30 range, and it'll be interesting to see where those guys go. Lindsay Petrucci, Lindsay Petruni joins us.
Brian Lowe.
And she joined us quite a few times during the fantasy football season, really to rub it in that she was having a better year than me. But who wasn't? Let's be honest there. But she joins us for a few minutes now.
Yes, to your dismay, I'm back, Brian.
Yeah, to my dismay. I was fighting this. I really was. I didn't want her to show me up again like she did in the fantasy season to talk about
the draft. Happens when I produce.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. When's Kevin coming back?
I bring in the real talent.
When's Kevin there coming back? Next week? Friday?
Yeah,
when will he be?
He'll be here tomorrow.
Good, good. Are we going to let him in? Yeah, we'll have to let him in. So, Lindsay, your general thoughts on the draft. How excited are you? This will be your first draft here in the Patriots organization. You excited about this?
I'm very excited, and I think it actually kind of crept up on us. I mean, I know we've been preparing for it, and we've had our draft previews on Patriots Today, and we'll be releasing our mock draft pretty shortly, but I can't believe it's tomorrow. I'm in shock. I honestly can't believe that it's almost May. April just flew by. Do you agree?
I mean, well, I think
crazy.
January, February, March, and April all flew by. Thank God it's here, because we need it.
I know.
You know, we talked earlier at the beginning of the show about it's an unusual offseason, no free agency, no trades. We need the draft. So do you have some thoughts on what you expect tomorrow? And I mean, Cam Newton, is he going to go number one overall, you think?
I hope not, but...
you hope not?
Yeah, but he... I don't know.
So
I mean,
he falls to the Pats?
I just think he's a really big gamble, and I don't want to say I'd be surprised to see him go as the first pick, but I don't know. I don't think I'd gamble.
So you hope
really
not?
Would.
You hope not from a Carolina Panther
right.
perspective? You hope from their perspective they shouldn't do it.
I mean, I'm not invested in that team, so they could do whatever they want. Now, if the Patriots had the first pick and they were thinking about Cam Newton, then I'd probably step up and probably contact some of the scouting people in scouting and say, I wouldn't pick it. And then I'm sure they'd take my advice.
I don't think they'd take your advice because I don't think they'd take the phone call, to be honest. But that's nothing against you because they're not taking my phone call either.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would ever get to the point where they'd have a chance to take your advice. The call just wouldn't go through. Lindsay, you mentioned the mock draft that we put together that's going to run later on today. And, I'll tease a little bit about that, but first, you didn't give your picks in this mock draft that's going to run. Do you have some thoughts on what the Patriots might do at 17 or 28?
I will say, and I agree with this, I talked to Teddy Bruschi on Saturday at the SportsCenter ESPNBoston.com draft party, and he said that if they take those six picks.
There you go. Waiting for that.
Yeah.
A little delayed.
Funny. I really agree with this.
So you talked to Teddy Bruschi on Saturday?
I did, but that's beside the point.
Okay.
The point is what he said, which I agree with, which is what you asked me for.
These things really are huge.
So he said that if the Patriots take each of their two picks in the first three rounds, all six picks, that they will be in danger of possibly becoming too young of a team, too inexperienced. So I know everyone's used to the trading down and making trades later rounds, but I would say that I could see them trading up this year. I really could, to get that pass rusher, get that linebacker, get that defensive end maybe. So because they're just such a wealth of them that are all going to go in the first round, the great ones. Or they have a chance at getting someone still pretty legit at 17 too. So
there's no question they have the ammunition this year to move up. They often do. They work their board well enough entering each draft. That they have the flexibility. That really is what it is. They have the flexibility to move up, to move down, to move out into next year.
They're in control, yep.
They are in control. And out at the combine, even 2 months ago, that really was the buzz. The Patriots are in control. I think they have, I can't remember exactly what the stat is, if it's five of the top 75, which is the most in the top 75 a team has had in 20 years, since I think it was 1990 or 91, Dallas. Five of the top 75, they can really control everything. So,
and I will say this too, just coming to New England since I've been reporting for the Patriots, the draft is really exciting here because you have so much confidence in Bill Belichick, in the whole scouting team here. It just, that you're going to get some good picks, and I like that they surprised people last year, and I'm hoping for maybe some more surprises this year, because I don't think you'll find a Patriots fan that disagrees with the Devin McCourty pick after this season. So
right.
it's really exciting to be here.
Thank you, Mark. And it was a surprise last year, both the player and the position, I think, last year. Cornerback, they had signed Lee Bodden to a big money deal. Darius Butler had shown something his first year. He was a second round pick, and, they had some guys, maybe they didn't have a ton of depth, but I think people felt comfortable with Lee Bodden and Darius Butler going to the year, and the Patriots surprise everyone with a cornerback and Devin McCourty, who was really not necessarily projected to be a first rounder. You're right. The Patriots throw everyone for a loop, most years. They make picks that people didn't really see. I mean, Patrick Chung, yeah, he was a second rounder the year before, early in the second round. He was not seen as a guy the Patriots were going to take, and that position was one. So you almost can't eliminate almost any position. So we do our mock draft. It's going to run later today. Myself, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart, and we eliminated trades. We did 17, 28, and 33. I'll give one of my picks, and then we'll let everybody go check it out later on today. At 17, I went with Anthony Costanzo, and I know that defensive line is the position, or defensive end, outside linebacker. They got to take that first. You know, it's one of their top needs, but I think tackle is an offensive line depth is a big need as well. And I think Anthony Costanzo this year is the best of the bunch. Patriots not afraid to take BC offensive linemen. We've seen that in the past. So I think Anthony Costanzo is going to be the guy. What would you say would be the biggest surprise, you think, in the first round of the draft tomorrow night? You think there's a team that's going to move up to get a guy, something completely out of nowhere, a player completely out of nowhere? You think there's going to be anything that's going to really shake up everything? I mean, we've seen Cam Newton number one, Marcell Dareus number two as almost like their locks. Something else you think that's going to completely shake up the entire draft board for other teams?
Let me ask you this first, Brian. It's a little more Patriots related. Do you think that the Patriots would ever trade up for anything besides a defensive lineman?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really think that
I personally don't think they're going to trade up.
Okay.
If they do, it would be in the 12 to 14 range as opposed to 6, 8, 10.
Right. And it all depends on who's there, obviously,
right.
which we have no idea.
But I would say that in fact, I think that they have such trouble, and their drafts in past years have shown that they rarely can identify that true 3-4 defensive end or outside linebacker that's perfect for them early in the draft. So I think that it tends to be too risky to move up to do that, and for them. But I don't know what position it would be. But to answer your question, yeah, I don't think it's a lock that if they trade up, it's for a defensive front seven guy. I think it would be. Would it absolutely wipe me out and stun me to no end if they traded up for a wide receiver? I don't know if it would. I'd be surprised. Would it knock me over? No, because they identify the guy that they want, and if they decide this is the year, they've been building up picks for a while, they move up, I think it would be a surprise, but it wouldn't completely stun me. And would I say that defensive end would be the most likely position they trade up for? Yes. Do I think it's the only one? No. No.
What about an offensive lineman? Do you think they'd ever trade up for an offensive lineman?
Ever, yes. This year's draft, no.
Won't happen
because,
this year.
No, I don't think so because it just, you know, if you look at most drafts, I think I looked at this a few weeks ago and I don't have the exact stat. There's been at least one, if not two, offensive tackles taken in the top five every year in the last 7 or 8 years. This is a draft where there's some depth at tackle for the first round, but it's not top heavy. And I don't think this is a year that they'd trade up for one of them. I think if there happens to be a run on offensive tackles at 9, 10, 11, you know, maybe they move up to 13 or 14 for one, but I don't think this is a draft where you move way up for an offensive tackle. I think 17 and 28 might be the sweet spot for those tackles.
In terms of surprises, would you be surprised if Cam Newton isn't first off the board? And
yes.
if he's not, though, who are some other guys that you think could go first? Because honestly, I really like Patrick Peterson.
Love Patrick Peterson.
If the need is there, and I mean, if there's a trade made, I can see him. You know, say Carolina, you know, has something in the works. I don't know, and say they don't take Cam Newton, I think he could really go in top three.
Patrick Peterson, I think, absolutely is a top three talent, and I don't think there's any team that could say, oh, you know what, we're fine at cornerback. We'll pass on him. I think if Carolina doesn't take Cam Newton, I think it's Marcell Dareus or a defensive lineman. They could certainly use Patrick Peterson, though. And, you know, I think Denver has a ton of defensive needs. Cornerback probably isn't their most pressing defensive need, but I think, Buffalo would have to consider him. I think every team should consider Patrick Peterson. I think he might be the best player in this year's draft, but I don't think there's any way Carolina passes on Cam Newton right now. But I think Newton 1, Dareus 2, and then all hell could break loose. I think Von Miller goes 3 to Buffalo, and I think Blaine Gabbert goes 4 to Cincinnati, and you don't see that everywhere, but I think that's the case. So, on Patriots Today, the next few days, we've got a ton coming your way. Our mock draft later on today. What else we got? Why don't you just fill us in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what everyone's going to see?
Well, we're going to have some very insightful debriefs after the Patriots make their picks with, I'm guessing, some of the PFW guys.
You'd be guessing right.
That everyone knows and loves. And we'll be covering a couple different draft parties. We'll be heading to Vince Wilfork's draft party, his 8th annual, and we'll also be covering the draft party here at Gillette Stadium, and that's on Thursday. I mean, that's just Thursday, so we'll be cranking some stuff out Friday into Saturday. We're going to have a ton of content, and also tonight is Patriots All Access. The live show is airing. It's at 7 p.m. on WBZ. You're going to get an inside look at the scouting process. We followed some Patriots scouts at the Boston College Pro Day and the UMass Pro Day. Belichick sits down with Scott Zolak, and he gives some insight, final insight before the draft. And
I have some good stories.
And we'll close things out with our roundtable. ESPNBoston.com's Mike Reese and the one and only Paul Perillo will give some. Last minute. This is crazy. Live show. It's the draft is tomorrow. I mean, this is it.
And since this is the World Wide Web, that show All Access airs at 7 o'clock locally in Boston, but then also will be available on Patriots.com.
Yeah, it'll be streaming live. So
Stream live.
At 7 p.m., head to Patriots.com if you can't watch it in Boston, because it will still be live online. It will be streaming live.
Do it live!
And again, radio programming. You can hear the PFW guys Thursday night during the first round at 8 o'clock. I'll be back on Friday at noon to recap Thursday night and look ahead to Friday, and then next Wednesday we will have our final edition of Inside the Draft Room, really wrapping all of it up here on Patriots.com. Lindsay, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Bilo.
All right, we'll see you over the weekend. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Inside the Draft Room. Many thanks to Chad Reuter of NFLDraftScout.com. He joined us and gave us some great insight. Hey, the draft is coming up. It's really only 24 plus 7. What's that? That's 31 hours. We're 31 hours away, Lindsay, from the first round of the draft.
Math isn't our strong point.
Carolina on the clock. We'll see you next week.
It was my understanding that there would be no math